see as a result of the sin coming into the world that we see here in the beginning of chapter 3. You start to see the first edition of the proverbial blame game, mm-hmm. right? You see mm-hmm. In chapter, starting at verse 8, we see that it says, they hid from the Lord God. Mm-hmm. Now, what a sad thing to see there. I mean, previously to this, they had been, walking in communion, spending time with one another, in the garden, God and his greatest creation being man. And we see here that as a result of sin, now it's man's desire to hide from God, to hide who they are, what they are, what they want. And you start to see from this moment on this inexorable separation between both groups. And we see here the question from the Lord in verse 9, which is the question that I think echoes throughout the ages, mm-hmm. right? This God is still asking man this question today. In verse 9, he says, where are you? And, I've heard it said many times is that that's really what the Lord is consistently asking us, whether believer or unbeliever, is where are you? And how does that relate in relation to where I am? And then we see in verse 10, another evidence of the separation is that man is now fearful mm-hmm. of God because of what he had done. And, this part is sad as well. You see in verse 12, when, first and foremost, God comes to the man. Because it's the man's responsibility. Man had headship. Man has responsibility. And so God first comes to the man with this particular situation. And then he says, well, no, it's the woman. The woman that you put me here with, God. So it's first case, it's the woman's fault. But then, God, a little bit, it's your fault too, right? Because you put this, I was here by myself before and I was fine. Now you put this little woman in this garden with me. And now all this problem starts to come in. So in one breath, he's blaming the woman and God. And then the woman says, well, it was a serpent. Mm-hmm. And so you just start to see now there's not only is there separation between God and man, but there's also a separation between mm-hmm. man and woman and man and man. Mm-hmm. So now sin has done what it always does is bring in isolation mm-hmm. and bring in the very thing that was, man had always feared, which is being alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we see how this separation between God and man and separation between man and man, you see it every day.
Yeah, very good.
I mean, I'd like to bring out something that displays my age, and you will get it in a minute. For those of us who have kids, okay, and I've noticed this in my experience so far, and you folks have experienced this in many different ways, think back about when you know you've done something wrong. Do you find that you want to be close to your parents? When you know in your heart of hearts that you've done something that your parents would not be approve of, I've made an observation that sometimes my kids, when they see them very quiet and walking at a distance, I know something is up. And I'm serious. I would say, are you all right? And they're quiet for days. They would be quiet. You know something is up. I mean, I'm serious. I think that is something that as a parent, you keep an observation of, particularly for teenagers, that when they're very quiet and they're not talking to you, maybe there's something that is up. I'm sure you folks have experienced this. Okay, but I found that in my own experience. Yeah.
So it's a far-reaching effect that still continues. We can see it, like you say.
I have just a question in verse 8. It says that they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking. It's the voice walking. What could be said about that?
What do you think? A question.
What do we think about the fact that it's the voice of the Lord God that was heard? Well, I think I'll make a suggestion that, as it was mentioned earlier, this it seems to suggest that as soon as they heard the voice, they knew it was He, they went to hide, and you probably have had the experience when you're, in fact, it happens a lot, especially at a place like this, where you're just walking and you think, or you truly do, hear somebody call your name. That, okay, which direction was that coming from? Did somebody call for me? Someone's voice, particularly calling your name. is it's very, it penetrates into your mind when you hear A, a familiar voice, and B, a voice calling your name. And so it seems to suggest that there was, that this was a common experience, that the Lord God would be walking in the garden with them. How can we even envision how that would be? I don't really even know what that must have been like. But he came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and that voice was enough to drive them away even further because they knew their guiltiness.
Connect God's voice with his creatorial power. Verse 3, God said, "Let there be light."
Good.
You know, light reveals all sin and darkness. So we see that hearing that voice, in a sense, that's the creator in the garden there.
But it was certainly not the voice of anger. You know, the voice of someone who is in fellowship.
It's just a short comment, but the voice, just imagine the voice of God. They heard it. It was certainly not a voice to give fear, but to, you know, like a father with his children, the same thing. And it's interesting to read that they heard a voice and they are fleeing, and after the Lord is calling for them. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Where are they? Usually they would have been there. You know, where are they? Just like the example with the children. I like this example.
I also like the thought that God was there. He loves to dwell. His goal is to dwell amongst his people. And that we see that, trace that all the way through. Eventually, that's going to happen. But he's going to deal with sin first.
Very good.